It's hard to believe with all the horrible weather we've had recently that next week we're into Holy Week and 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. So perhaps it's appropriate that today's gospel looks forward to Good Friday and the death of Jesus. It's John's account of something that happened after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. John tells us, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. 'So, Jesus, here are some Greeks,'" not Jews, "'Greeks who want to meet you.'" And the strange thing about John's account is that he doesn't actually tell us whether the Greeks were introduced to Jesus or what happened when they met. He simply says that Jesus immediately started talking about his death. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Why then does Jesus seem to be so unresponsive to the request to meet these Greeks? We might have expected that he would see this as an opportunity to bring the news of the kingdom of God to these foreigners, to these non-Jews, who would take the message back to Greece and so begin the spread of the gospel in the Mediterranean world. The only explanation I can think of is that Jesus seems to be saying, "I don't want to be introduced to these Greeks simply as a religious or a moral teacher or as a philosopher. The gospel message won't be complete and ready to be shared all over the world until I have died and been raised from death." And then Jesus goes on to say, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground," and so on. If you've ever dug up potatoes in your garden, you will no doubt have noticed the seed potato that you planted some months before. It's rotten and soft, but the death of that seed potato has produced all the beautiful new potatoes that you're digging up. So Jesus is saying that his death is like the death of the seed, and there's no new life without the death of the seed. Then Jesus goes on to say, "If you're my disciples, you've got to follow me, and the same principle of death that produces life applies to you. You've got to die to self if you want to enjoy life in fellowship with me." Jesus isn't looking forward to the pain and the suffering and the shame that he knows are ahead of him. We're told, "Now is my heart troubled. And what shall I say?" He is all churned up inside at the thought of what's ahead of him. And he's aware that he could easily ask God to save him from this awful death, but he resists the temptation. Matthew tells us in his gospel that when Peter drew his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane to defend Jesus, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Don't you realize that if I wanted to, I could ask God to send legions of angels to rescue me?" Just this last Friday, I was leading a session on Islam with a group of first-year students at Ridley Hall in Cambridge, and trying to explain to them some of the differences between what Christians and Muslims believe about Jesus. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet, and we agree that he was a prophet, but we would want to say that he's more than a prophet. Muslims believe that Jesus was not crucified. There's one particular proof text in the Quran. The thinking of most Muslims is that the Jews thought they were crucifying Jesus. There was somebody that they nailed to the cross. But God intervened to take Jesus up to heaven, and someone else was crucified in his place. And their thinking is that this miraculous rescue was God's way of vindicating Jesus. I went on to explain that in our understanding, God allowed Jesus to go through such a painful and shameful death, and that he vindicated him not by miraculously rescuing him and whisking him up to heaven, but in a much more wonderful way by raising him after death. There's one more memorable sentence from the words of Jesus in John here that underlines the centrality of the cross and the resurrection. Jesus says, When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men, all people to myself. Jesus here seems to be saying it's only after I have died on the cross and been raised from the death that there will be a message that will attract people all over the world and meet their deepest needs. The message that needs to come to these Greeks who want to see me and to all non-Jews is not just about my life and teaching. The message must center around the cross and the resurrection. In other words, if there's no cross and resurrection, there's no message for the world. The story of a vulnerable Savior who suffers the worst that men can do to him and responds in love and forgiveness is a powerful and attractive message for needy people all over the world. To illustrate the point about the attraction of Jesus to people outside the Christian community, here is a short testimony which I received in an email just this week about a young man from Iran who was raised as a Muslim and became a Christian in Yorkshire. I first heard about Jesus at home in Iran. A friend sent me some verses from the Gospel of John. Chapter 3, verse 16 shocked me to the core. I was told that God hated me because of my sin. But here, God loved me so much he sent his son to die for me. I left Iran and found myself in Yorkshire. A church opened its doors to me. My new church family laid the foundation of my Christian faith. I was so thirsty to learn about Jesus that I was always the first to arrive and the last to leave the church services. After leaving all my family and friends in Iran, this church was my new family. Through God's strength and the support of my church family, I broke free of my addictions to drugs. And in 2012, I got baptized. So, as we look forward to Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Easter, we are approaching the climax of the Christian story. Christmas is just like the introduction, the first chapter of a book. It's like the overture to a symphony or an opera. The heart of the gospel is the cross and the resurrection. And when I come to receive the bread and the wine in this service today, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you've overcome death and are alive. And I want to live in relationship with you today, this week, and for the rest of my life.